Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gash. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them, who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. It's Judges 2, verses 8 through 10. A generation arose who did not know the Lord. How does this happen? How does an entire generation not know who the Lord is? How have they not heard what he has done? Who is at fault for such an occurrence? I'd like to turn over to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. I plan to cover a large portion of this chapter this morning, so if you'd like to turn there and keep it marked, I'll be returning to it at later points. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded you to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Here we have a charge given to the children of Israel. They are to keep the commands they are taught. Not only are they supposed to keep them, but they are to be sure these things get passed on. You and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life. It's not only making sure you know the commandments, but it's also making sure they don't die out with you. Teach your son, not only that, but make sure he teaches it to your grandchildren. That way it won't be lost from generation to generation. Rather, it will become a great heritage. We as humans tend to forget. If you're like me, you forget a lot. Something happens, we get distracted with current worries and cares, and we forget. It is easy for us to unintentionally forget things that we should know. It's equally easy for us to get busy with common things. In doing so, we often do not remember to give attention to the really important matters. Israel also had problems remembering the really important matters. Israel was given these statutes to help them to remember, and this was to keep it in the forefront of their mind, where they came from and by whose power they were there. They were to observe these statutes in the land they were going to. They hadn't arrived. Israel was not yet in a position to get comfortable, distracted, and to ignore their Lord. These statutes were to keep God's power fresh in their mind. Deuteronomy 6, starting verse 3. Deuteronomy 6, 3. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. These words, the commands, were to be everywhere. Literally, you were to have them posted. Then, they have to come to the attention of your household. Deuteronomy chapter 32 is about the song of Moses. This song was to serve as yet another reminder for the children of Israel. Verse 46 speaks of how they were to pass this on to their children. It would prolong their days in the land they were going to possess if they would observe the words of these commands. Deuteronomy 32, verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you, when the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. Passing these things on was of great importance. It was to teach and to remind the people who they were and where they had came from. You are a special people. God has done great things for you, and he has set you apart from other kingdoms and nations. You are not like them, so don't look at them and try to act just like them. You are a chosen people who have great favor if you simply observe the Lord's commands. Therefore, talk about them all the time. It says when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That's all the time. When we get up in the morning, do we remember the Lord? We should. He is in control. Without him, we wouldn't get up. When you're walking, we don't do much walking in our day anymore. Perhaps when we're in the car traveling, do we think and talk of God? Do we consider the Lord when the day is done as we lie down? These were commands for Israel, and they are probably good ideas for us to observe also. Furthermore, they were to have these commands from the Lord on their doorposts, so they would have to see them as they were coming and going. More so, bind it on your hand and have it between your eyes. All these ways to remember, Israel must have had a serious problem if they needed all those reminders. This was the people who were slaves in the land of Egypt. Egypt forced Israel to do hard labor continuously. And the Lord heard their cries and saw their woe. And he came to help. He sent plague after plague, showing his mighty power. God turned the water into blood. He sent hail and locusts and destroyed the crops. He sent frogs, lice, and flies that would have been a constant problem. He sent boils, darkness, and death to the firstborn in each household. The Egyptians took the brunt of these plagues, while Israel was sheltered from them. God's power was without question. How is it that the same generation of Israelites who witnessed God's power in taking them out of Egypt would so soon forget him and his power? As soon as they leave Egypt, they start complaining and forgetting God's power. They're going to die. They are hungry. They are thirsty. Doesn't it make sense that God, who just performed all these plagues, would also have the power to provide them food, water, and safety? Would they have not been better served to remember the Lord's power and entreat him for help rather than to complain and distrust him? Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him. They again forgot the Lord's power when they came to the land of Canaan. They didn't believe God could deliver it into their hands. Over and over, the children of Israel forgot the Lord and his power. This is why in Deuteronomy it was so important to God and Moses for them to remember and pass on these commands, these statutes. Israel had a problem. And it's easy for us to look back in their history and fault them. Life is a little bit harder when you're living it rather than reading about it. If we had a book written about our situations, our lives, and reactions to everything we encounter, we too would be also easily criticized. The reality is that if Israel struggled with it, we may also. We humans are forgetful. It is said that those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Many rulers throughout time have become greedy for different things. They may send their people to war for their greed. The people suffer the pain and other awful things that the war brings. Yet men have not ceased to be greedy. Perhaps a more relevant example might be that of homosexuality. Societies in the past where it becomes rampant often don't last long. Sodom and Gomorrah are one example. Aside from the church, the Roman Empire is arguably the most impressive kingdom that man has seen. It has lasted much longer than any other empire, and its power was unparalleled in its age. In spite of all this, it still eventually fell. It got to be in the Roman Empire so that leaders of the empire were killed so that someone else could rise to the throne. This empire became very corrupt, not only its leaders, but the people too. My understanding is that homosexuality was rampant along with other immoral acts towards the end of the Roman Empire. Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. The United States of America are not immune to this principle. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. We have a very great nation. The freedoms we enjoy are something special, and we are extremely blessed to live in this land. Those who have been to other parts of the world, Brother Tim has recently returned from being in the Middle East, and they get to see what other people get to live with. They can attest to how great this place is. Even though we have it so great here, our nation is still a place of imperfection and sin. Our nation and its youth is in its youth compared to Rome, and yet we have many advanced troubles. Our nation used to be known as a Christian nation. Today, I'm not sure that's the case. Young people today are educated to give more respect to science than religion. And there is nothing wrong with science, as long as it's actually science, and not someone's false excuse to ignore God. False teachers have allowed many bad things to be associated with religion in the minds of those in the world today. This is the work of Satan. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. All these false teachers giving poor examples of Christians lead many to dismiss Christianity altogether. And this is a shame. People don't take the time to consider the truth. They see some proclaiming to be Christians who do something wrong. They then dismiss all those said to be Christians, even if there is nothing there, they look for an excuse to dismiss them. They assume science, rather evolution, is right. This is convenient for them, so they can live their lives the way they want and seemingly have no one to answer to. I'm speaking in generalizations about these people, but for the large part, I think that is what is happening in our society today. I want to share what brought me to this topic this morning. I was talking to someone who I knew through an old job, and we were talking about youth in churches. How a lot of places in churches today, there are not many, if any, young families or any young people in general. Now, I think we have a good amount of youth in our congregations. We are blessed to have that. And the thought that the conversation spurred for me was about our nation as a whole. Much of our population has grown away from its religious beliefs. Many still say they believe in God, but they don't act like it. They accept things that are not in line with God's word, and many just don't care. This is what made me think we are becoming more and more a nation who does not know God. I wouldn't say we are completely there, but we are growing more that way. It's a sad condition. How bad does it have to be for an entire generation for it to be considered, an entire generation that does not know God? How bad does it have to be for a generation to be considered that they do not know God? I think of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham is talking with the Lord about the cities. He asks if God would destroy the evil with the good. He starts off asking, if there are 50 righteous, would God spare the city of Sodom? God agrees. Abraham goes back and forth, asking God a smaller and smaller amount, and he gets it all the way down to just 10 people, 10 righteous souls. If there were just 10, God says he would spare it. Ultimately, Sodom and Gomorrah are found lacking. Lot is told to leave with his family, and the cities are then destroyed. We need to be sure we are not neglecting our duty to stand up for the Lord. In the Old Testament, the Jews were God's chosen people. Now, those who imitate Christ are the chosen people. We, like the Jews, become forgetful. If we are not careful, we will stray away from the Lord. We will start becoming like the people around us in the world, just as the Jews did. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 18. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful, and have forgotten the God who fathered you. Verse 20. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be, for they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faith. Verse 28. For they are a nation void of counsel, nor is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. That they would consider their latter end. We also need to consider our end. If we fail to remember the Lord God who created us, gave us life and salvation, how sad will we be when he reminds us in the end? It is simple for us to think about here and now. We need to think ahead. One day our life will end. We will die, or the Lord will come. Will we be ready? If we live for the here and now, we will not be prepared for what the future may bring, and we certainly won't be ready for what the end will bring. We need to start preparing now. We need to be wise like the Lord wanted Israel to be. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter 1, 5. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Our faith is not to sit idly after we believe. It should motivate us to action. We want to go to heaven. We want to be the Lord's. If we don't serve God and grow in him, how do we expect him to call us his own and eventually save us? If we lack these attributes here in 2 Peter that stem from our faith, Peter says we are short-sighted. and we have forgotten. That's not the direction we want to go after we become Christ. Continuing in verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. The Jews were given all those commands to help them remember. Eventually, they still forgot. Peter wanted to keep stirring up the brethren as long as he was still there, because he knew that his time was short, just like Christ's time was short, just like our time is short. We need reminders all the time to keep us headed in the right direction. God gave the Jews a lot of things to help them to remember, and He still gives us, in our time, a lot of things to help us remember. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, talk about the assembling of ourselves. Why do we come together? Is it just because we feel like it? Because we want to have a good time? No. We come together because of the Lord. Verse 24 says, consider one another so you can stir each other up. Peter was just talking about stirring up the saints. How can we do this if we do not come together? Do not forsake the assembly of the saints. Rather, exhort each other as you see the day approaching. What is the day? It's the end. Do not be short-sighted. Be with the saints. Bring others to be with you with the saints. Do not be like the Jews when they forgot the Lord. They cheated on the Lord to be with and like worldly people. The Lord gave us the assembly to remember Him. What else? We have the written word. 2 Timothy 3:15 says it is able to make us wise for salvation. Also, prayer helps us to think about the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. If we pray to the Lord regularly, it helps us to focus on Him and what's important. It is something that can stick with us from day to day when we are away from godly people. God also gave us something else that is very, very important to help us remember Him. He gave us His only begotten Son. This was a sacrifice for our wrongdoing. Through this great gift, we have hope for salvation. Through this, we can be sure that God loves us and He has not forgotten us, even though we sometimes forget Him. As we have example in His Word, we remember Him on, we remember the Lord's death on the first day of the week. And this serves as a continual reminder of how things really are. That sin causes death, and Christ died for our sin in order to save us. And without Christ, we are hopeless. I'm sure there are other reminders that God has given us that I didn't think of. The point is that we need to be sure we always remember Him. Not only remember, but that we seek to pass on our faith to others. A generation who does not know God. Are we in one? Oftentimes it feels like it. How does it happen? Israel was instructed to be careful to remember the commands and statutes. Apparently, somewhere along the way, they got careless. We were told to be careful. How does an entire generation not know the Lord? How have they not heard what he has done? Who is at fault for such an occurrence? I think these questions all have the same answer. Their families did not teach them. Somewhere along the line, Israel failed to pass on the statutes. It didn't take long. Moses' song in Deuteronomy 32 occurred at the end of Moses' life. Joshua was there when Moses gave this song to Israel. And the passage I started with in Judges 2 was at the time Joshua died. Joshua was 110. It says that when all of that generation was gathered to their fathers, that is when a generation arose who did not know God. So in a period of somewhere around 100 years, this occurred. It may be that part of the blame belongs to the younger generation. But in a period that short, there is probably failure to teach it and pass it on. Either way, it's an important lesson for us. It doesn't take much neglect in teaching our kids before they are far removed from where they should be. We need to be sure to teach them about God and why He is most important. God instituted the family for a reason. Malachi chapter 2, verse 15 says, He, capital H, He desires godly offspring. The book of Proverbs offers guidance to parents on raising children. Children are very important to God. He wants them to be raised to know Him. Parents are responsible for raising children. That being said, I don't think parents should rely solely on church Bible classes to educate their children about God. I think the classes are good and I think we should do them. What I'm saying is that they ought to get teaching about God at home. I think we should still talk about God a lot, perhaps similar to what Israel was commanded. Children will notice if God is important to us and to each one of you. They are not dumb. It's tough to find time, but what do we have to do that is more important? Do we want to be responsible for a generation that does not know God? Deuteronomy 6, verse 20. When your son asks you in the time to come, saying, "What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you?" Then you shall say to your son, "We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us, if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God, as He has commanded." There is no greater thing for us to pass on than our faith. We need to show and to share it with others. Not all will accept, but we still are expected to try. If no one shared with us, we would be lost also. In Romans, the first chapter, it speaks of those who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. We should seek to be in opposition to that. We need to proclaim the truth in righteousness. In Exodus, the fifth chapter, Moses and Aaron approach Pharaoh, asking him to let Israel go. Exodus 5:2, "And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go.'" Pharaoh was made to know the Lord's power. God brought Israel out with a mighty hand. Likewise, those who do not know God will also be brought to acknowledge God's power. We are told that every knee will bow. Just as God brought Israel out of Egypt that he might bring them in to the promised land, God brings us out of the bondage of sin that he might bring us in to salvation. In Galatians 3rd chapter, verses 26 and 27, the Lord talks, or Paul talks about our faith. I thought I could remember exactly what I wanted to say on that part. Okay, I gotta look. Galatians 3:26 and 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We are all sons through faith in Christ. As many of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So in things this morning, I'd like each of you to consider your faith in the Lord. Do you know the Lord? Are you going to be brought in when he comes to reclaim those who are his own? We need to be careful to not forget him. If you have not yet acknowledged that you know the Lord, we give you this opportunity as we sing an invitation song.